all about the moment, so called, my daughter was born. And I'm going to dedicate it to my bestest friend Anne, who's in the Rotunda Hospital with her newborn daughter Annabelle at the moment. It's called Tomorrow's Girl. In utero, I watched you grow from the inside out. Your umbilical tail was rooted in my veins, and I wondered if we dreamed in sync. As soon as your lease ceased in planet womb, I welcomed you into this world, Tomorrow's Girl. Your gaze danced to the sound of my voice as I blessed you with my new mother's breath. I thanked evolution, history and geography for this moment, right here, right now. Your dark Himalayan eyes shined black. My smile shined back as I saw strands of your hair with Celtic curls of red and gold. At just 5 minutes old, your beauty cast a spell on the future. I called on your ancestors, east and west, into our lives. I invited them to rejoice in your birth and guide you on this earth. May your heart and mind be open, your instinct finely tuned, as you dance your way through night and day, this aching world may you soothe.
Next up is me of prayer.
From birth to death. This is a poem inspired by my father's typewriter. That's a serious one for time. Yeah, my father died when I was quite young, and for years and years afterwards, his things were still all around the house. And I was just fascinated by all these objects that belonged to him, even though I never really knew him very well. So this poem is called IBM Selectric. In the crypt of his study, when the house was empty, she brought it to life. Its body, the grey metal of institutions, paper wrapped around the platen, held in place by a window of perspex. Every key a portal, she pushed each one, even the keys that were foreign, wishing for the fluency of a drummer with those letter beats. In smooth grooves she left fingerprints over his, traces of chemistry notes worn away by childish prodding, typed her name over and over. Its globe of letters and glyphs in endless combinations swiveled round and back on its whiplashed neck, stamping symbols. Like a cyclops eyeball, seeing the truth and declaring it on paper, relinquishing ink from its long black iris, going slowly blind. That ribbon, the prettiest a girl had ever seen. If she took it out and tied it around her heart, she might imbue it with a pulse more human than electric hum. When the others came home, she killed it with a switch flick and crept back downstairs.
That was so good. And next we have Charles Clark.
Something that has actually been heard twice in Cork in the distant, not so distant past, but fairly distant, Seaside Workshop. Her husband closed the door. Minutes later, the lorry mounted the pavement. She explained to me at the Seaside Workshop. At the seaside, my poem was blighted by applause and appears in the bulletin only. Hers, dense as matting, concerned rock climbing, her hobby in bereavement. At the seaside, I backed the Guinness winner, and covered my expenses. I met a kingmaker at breakfast. Sunday afternoon we said goodbye. She took a loop to the Abbey for christening. her book, My Souvenir, went to a land washed by cement dust, hopped by chalk pits, home to rare orchids.
Next up, we have Esme Keith.
History. Walls built in time, purpose driven, intent to keep out, erected to promote differences. Illustrate who's who. No go area in this town of Bandon. They did the job, annihilated, kept out, separated. Those walls built in time. Now we celebrate leftovers, walls partially standing. Stark reminder of what's gone before. Take joy in moving times, where equality exists, determining the worth of each individual. Creed is no longer a driving force, deciding factor. Unity now takes precedence in this town of Bandon.
Thanks, Fafna. Next up we have Michael Newman.
I wrote this poem about fantasy because I kind of like walks and quick steps and stuff, and kind of wrote this poem about it. And it was the first, I'm proud because it was the first poem I wrote. Dancing to him is like a drug for the soul, his trance-like state, the embodiment of that goal. When the music hits the right beat, twisting and turning, go those dancing feet. With skill and poise, he glides round the hall. Waltz or quick step, he gives it his all. No matter what lass is by his side, she is swept along like a cork on the tide. Some people say he is so full of pride, but he cares not and takes it all in his stride. More say he is so very vain, but for him it's a way of staying seen. Some people say his style is unique, others think him a bit of a freak, but he alone knows when he takes that floor, worries and cares are gone out the door.
Next, we have Pat Watts. This is called The Big Screen Gone. Fresh from generosity of the bank, everyone's mom. Though a small sum and close to the end sum of what was once a let's live the life sum, I happily slop teabag tea in the cafe at spot central of the shopping centre, and remember as I paper peel my muffin how this place was built with such hopes, a place for the townspeople to buzz in, community activity boards eager plentiful as graffiti in any American Robin Hood. And as decor sideshow for the usual stories and food, scatterings of alternative therapy outlet cells, that Gugan Barra look of plain monk would sell once. And yet what I miss most was first to go, first casualty of downturn, as Samson-like pipers who'd lead Scots regiments into battle. How I miss that big screen that used bravely face down open plan cafe and bustling shoppers with news pictures and running news line a-go-go to flashing digital time like the eyes of God. Often I'd sit an hour awaiting my sister's return from shopping like a tragic hero overwhelmed by impedimenta, aghast at her Tonto-esque charioteer's idleness. So we'd mutely head for the car and home, my mind full of the joys and tragedies of both life and sport. such an antidote to disconnection kept some truth grounded in my life, no matter how high the kites could fly. Thanks.
Next, we have Billy
Russell. Does anybody know what a Zoom is? Is this your recording device? That's just a bit of background. This is a poem called Sound. To render the ocean, one needs a whole year. With Zoom and freezing fingers on a quarter mile of coast. Sound is the one true vocabulary of nature, and not the peacock palette painters swear he uses for his best stuff. That's just for show. To render the ocean, one needs a whole year on the quayside, tracking the tide's increasing stature, its drones and climaxes, the diminuendo when it slows. Sound is the one true vocabulary of nature. Nature plays bass clarinet in a pop-up Berlin theater. In a polo neck, he solos the ocean. He tongues, he blows to render the ocean. One needs a whole year or centuries to capture even its tiniest feature. Like the boat cove's lapping, backwashed contraflows, sound is the one true vocabulary of nature. Who's lost in his MacBook, applying filter after filter to this rock pool's minuscule system of echoes. To render the ocean, one needs a whole year. Sound is the one true vocabulary of nature. Thanks.
Thanks, Billy. Next we have Rosie O'Regan.
I'm really glad I'm not reading a poem after that one. That was amazing. It's Julie Field's birthday tonight, everybody.
Woohoo! Wow!
I would just like to sing happy birthday in the key of poetry. if you'd like to join in with me, kind of take the kind of easy pace, like, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Marilyn Monroe's dying.
Happy birthday, dear Julie. Happy birthday to you.
Next we have Cedric.
Okay, so this one's about love, support, and progress. She's now ready to walk. She fears it. She also fears the loving watch of a mom. She's dressed up, looking for something without looking back. She does not know yet that as she is now standing on her two legs, she will spend half of her life searching for the other pair she just left.
When we were young, they gave us advice about their philosophy of life, and then I suppose the interesting thing, my guess anyway, is that in a lot of cases their philosophy ran contrary to the way they lived their lives themselves. and so I suppose we listen with a kind of a certain degree of cynicism, but that this poem is about such a person. It's called Granddad on a Sixpence. Lift your head up, peep from underneath the covers. shall I wear today? The uniform of the Queen's Guard or the mantle of an emperor? Called back from the fields to save Rome. This valiant village gave me my lookout across history. I've met the world's men here, from royal doctors to long-forgotten heroes of the Mesopotamian Wars. 6 weeks in London and a few days in Glorgan was enough to see both sides of any coin. Both blackguards and Republicans. The righteousness of churchmen, the silliness of women. Find a knight and hitch your star to his wagon, while I stay here awaiting your return.
Please come on, next we have Joe.
Okay, I'm just going to a song or a poem?
Song.
Okay, before I do the song, so this is my bad, but I hope it's okay. Joyful, understanding, loving, intelligent, expressive, Julie. You truly are an incredible star. You so are. I love Billie Holiday, so I'll just sing a Billie Holiday, okay? Here we go. You ain't never been blue. No, 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 child. You ain't never been blue till you had that mood indigo. That feeling goes stealing round to my shoes while I sit here inside, grow long blues. I always get that mood indigo since my baby said goodbye. And in the evening when the lights are low, I'm so lonesome I could cry, 'cause there ain't nobody who cares about me. I'm such a poor fool that's bluer than blue can be. When I get that mood indigo, I could lay me down and die.
Yeah. And last but not least tonight, we have Rita.
I don't have a poem, I just have a bit of stand-up comedy craze. So.
Take it off.
Yes, over there. Have birth, Julie. I'll say I'm Brida, and I was born in the 3rd of June in 1981, but I wasn't alone. I have a twin sister. Her name is Ella, which means other in Irish. I like that idea, you know, me being the main twin and she being the other. Much like Simone de Beauvoir's notion of woman being other to man. Other was woman, I was man. Which basically meant I grew up with a profound sense of entitlement, self-confidence, and the tendency to grow facial hair. So she came first and I came next, you know, foot first, kicking her out the gap. And I was sticking my foot in it ever since. Like my friend Mary Casey told me she had cystic fibrosis, I told everyone she'd syphilis. And then she told me she was an atheist. I was like, send her an infection. She said, no luck. And I was always the girl, the little child that asked women with short hair, are you a lady or a man? Is it a boy or a girl? It was the first question asked before you're even born. And, you know, it might seem like an innocent question, but it's not. I mean, really, in reality, defines how you're treated the rest of your life, what you're allowed to do, and how long you spend queuing for toilets. So I didn't actually realise I was a girl until I went to school, and I couldn't wear my dicky bow anymore. And when the teacher said to us that the boys could do pee while us girls did knitting, I was horrified. Yeah, I didn't know much about feminism at the ripe old age of 6, but I knew something was very, very wrong with the situation. So I was always a girl, a lot of pent up energy. So mixed pent up energy with a 6-year-old's rage against the system and a pair of knitting needles. And you've got the makings of, we need to talk about Brida. I did nothing! I was so cross them at home, I wouldn't even eat my dinner. Well, okay, it wouldn't be a quarter of my dinner. You know, Emily Davison, she threw herself under a horse for feminism. I give up a quarter of my potato. Priorities, people. But yeah, I did have priorities growing up. You know, I liked to be out on the farm. I was good at farming. You know, mostly because I was the only girl in the house not afraid of Sandra Bullock, the bull. Yes, and I love getting all smelly and dirty, and I go into the house after being out in silent all day, and I'd be about to sit down with the lads. Mammy would call me and say, "Go on, Brida, make the sandwiches for the lads there." This face became known as Sandwich Face. That's it, that's all I have right now.